We're going to pray, and then we're going to read the scripture. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for another Sunday morning. Thank you for allowing us to come and gather in your name, Jesus. You're the one who died for us. You're the one who saved us. You're the one who is risen from the dead. And now, Lord, we gather in your name to worship you and praise you. And we are so grateful that you receive us, that you love us. We're asking that you would send the Holy Ghost and that you would anoint me to preach the word, and that you would fill this room and bring conviction where it's needed, bring comfort and consolation where it's needed. We just pray, Lord God, that your will would be done in our lives according to your word and for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. You can look at it up on the screen, or you can open your Bible or your phone and read it while I read it to you. Hear the word of the Lord, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Have mercy, Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks, Peter. You may be seated. Well, this morning, I am your wedding planner. You know, when you go to get married or your children go to get married, it's good to have a wedding planner, somebody who can tell you what to do. And, you know, brides, they're often more astute, of course, than the bridegroom about what's supposed to happen. I think some ladies spend 10, 12 years getting bride magazines, you know, and studying it, getting it all ready, knowing exactly what they want. And if they have a father who's got the money to pay for it, they can pretty much get what they want. Well, this morning, I'm your wedding planner. And I want to help you get ready for the wedding that is to come. This wedding that I'm talking about is the wedding Pastor Gabe has been preaching to us about in Revelation chapter 19. You may remember it from last Sunday. And at that wedding feast of the Lamb, when Jesus will join together with his church, us who have confessed his name and love him, that is our future. We are going to have this great celebration, this great party, and we're going to be dressed up. The Bible tells us that the saints will be dressed in fine white linen, and those fine clothes are the good works of the saints. That's going to be quite a day. and it's coming. Now, what I want to do is I want to read a parallel passage to the one I just read to give you a little bit more insight in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus was an awesome teacher, and he used one of the greatest techniques ever invented for training people and teaching people, especially for zeroing in on our hearts. And that was through the use of parables or stories. Because when you listen to a parable or a story, you're thinking about those other guys in the story, and only kind of at the punchline do you realize he's talking to you. And this is the method of Jesus. It's a wonderful method. And he used this story or a similar story in different circumstances. The first one, he is in the temple courts, and he is dealing with the Pharisees, and they hate him, and they're trying to trap him. They're trying to find something he will say that they could use to kill him. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, we hear him also tell a very similar story at a party that a Pharisee, a wealthy Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees, threw for him. And this is in Luke chapter 14, verse 15. It will not be up on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you may want to look at it. Luke 14, 15, it says this: when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' And the servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but still there is room.' And the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Now let me give you the context for these stories. And the first context I want to tell you about is the big context. It's the context of human history. It's the context of the day Adam and Eve and the entire human race, because we were in our first parents on that day, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they sinned against God. They had listened to the serpent. They had tasted of the forbidden fruit. And God had told them that when you eat of this fruit, you will die. And so they were cast out of the garden. And since that time, death has reigned in judgment upon all the human race. And corruption infected us very quickly, so that their very first children, one brother killed another. And by the time of Noah, God was so angry at the human race, he almost ended us. But Noah found mercy with God. And because of that, you and I are here today. But you know, on that very day when God judged the human race and he cast them out, he made a covenant promise to them. And he told Eve, "One day, your seed will crush the serpent's head." In that sentence is the gospel. The promise that one day Jesus would defeat our great enemy and we would have salvation. And so God has always intended to throw a party. He's always intended to have a banquet for all of those he would save. And that's what history is about. The Old Testament shows you again and again how God chose Abraham, and that through Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that plan was that the Jewish people would obey God and serve Him and be His missionaries in the world. But they would not. There's a very sad verse in Romans chapter 10. It's a quote from Isaiah 65, where the Lord says, "All day long I have held my hands out to a disobedient people." I mean, do you see the shame and the sorrow in that phrase? All day long, God is saying, I'm not trying to make God weak or somehow impotent. No, he's almighty. But this is how he describes himself. All day long, I've held out my hands that my people would come to me, that they would be mine. Our God is a loving and generous God. That's the context in which these parables are given. And it's from the Garden of Eden all the way to glory, all the way to heaven, all the way to the kingdom, when we will sit down with our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, as His bride, the church. And we are going to party, because we're finally with the one who loves our soul like no one else. Hallelujah. So I want to go through these parables a little bit with you. You'll see I've got 2 points. One is, respond to the invitation. Send your response. And the other one is, shop for your clothes. Now, I have four grown children. They've all been married and left home. Hallelujah. And I had 3 sons and 1 daughter. And she cost me the most money for her wedding, which I, frankly, to tell you today, just honestly, I was proud to give. Sometimes when you send invitations, people don't know what RSVP means. I don't know, some of you may have had that experience. And I think especially younger people, they get and says, RSVP, what is that? Now, these are initials of a French phrase. That makes it even more difficult. Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît. I think that's it, right? And you know what it means? It means, tell us if you're coming. Send a response. Tell us yes or no. And you know, a lot of young married couples, they're counting every dime. They're getting a budget. They're trying to figure out how many people are going to be at the reception. And who can we tell the wrong address so they don't come to the reception, you know, and you know, they're working all the angles. I've even known couples who wanted to send a bill to people who said they would come but are not coming. I mean, it gets a little scary and freaky at some of these weddings. Well, here in our parables, the king in the first parable and the wealthy man, they send out an invitation. And the king's situation there in Matthew, the people just don't want to come. They're not coming. And he sends out his servants to them and said, the feast is ready. The feast is ready. Come. He said, no, I got a farm. I got to go work the farm. Another, no, I got a business. I got to work my business. I'm not going to do it. I'm not coming. Then it gets worse. Sends out his servants again. So they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. This is horrible. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now notice the generosity before you notice the terror of the response of the king. Notice the generosity of the king. He invites, he sends out his servants to remind, he even tells them what's on the menu. I mean, I would go to more weddings if they would send the menu. Here he said, we're going to have a cookout like you wouldn't believe. I've got an ox. I've got fattened calves. We're going to put it on the spit. It's awesome. The generosity of the king. But terrible response of the people. Now, in the context of giving these parables, understand this. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And they realize that he is talking to them. They realize that he is saying to them, this is you. God has reached out his hands to you. You denied him. You refused him. I have come. I am God incarnate. I have come in flesh to dwell among you. What did you do? You rejected me. The Word of God. God the Son. I've come in your presence. This is you. You've been invited to the wedding and you would not come. With the passage in Luke, we see that they gave excuses. And they said, I bought a bunch of oxen. I got to try them out. I got a farm. I got to work it. I just got married. I can't come. They gave excuses. Now, I want you to know this morning that of all the characters in these parables, you are represented. Everybody in here is one of these kind of folk in this parable. See, you are either one of the folks who were invited and would not come. You are one of the people invited and gave excuses why you don't want to come. You are one of the people who have come. You are one of the kind of people who showed up at the wedding without wedding clothes on. We'll get to that in a moment. Or you are a servant who has been sent out to tell the people there's still room. There's still room for you. That's our role now as Christians, to go into all the world and tell them there's still room. God's looking for you. You can be saved. Hallelujah. Now, isn't this terrible, this part of the story where the banquet hall is full after the servants have gone out and gotten the bad and the good, after the servants in the second story have gone out and gotten the poor and the lame and the blind and the crippled and even out into the countryside, total strangers, people who were really basically unqualified to come to this kind of a wedding, this kind of a banquet. And here in Matthew, there's this end of the story with a twist on it, and it's kind of weird. The king comes into the banquet hall. The banquet hall is now full, and he looks, and there's a man without wedding clothes. And he says, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the story is that the king told his servants to bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. Now, in the earlier service, a lady came up to me and said, I never understood that. I thought that was so bad. And it does sound like a dirty trick, doesn't it? It sounds like, wait a minute, you invited me to come. And here I am. Well, understand this. Obviously, when people have weddings, if it's still a traditional kind of wedding, I mean, I've been to all kinds of weddings, and I've seen people dress all kinds of ways, but there's still the traditional wedding where you get dressed to the nines. And as poor as I was as a young man, I still had to rent my tuxedo, first time I had ever worn one, and really stretched to be able to have the money to do it. And I was thankful to be there. Thank God Joan married me. You know, it was awesome. But some people don't know how to dress, especially this generation. I mean, you get people show up in a t-shirt and flip-flops, you know. Now, you know, some of you have been to fancy restaurants where there's a dress code. Now, I'm not talking about like Waffle House and Cracker Barrel, where there's a sign that says no shoes, no shirt, no service. Okay, that's like a minimum dress code. But there are there are really nice restaurants where you got to wear, if you're a guy, you got to wear a jacket and a tie. Okay, here's this beautiful wedding. The king is giving it for his son, who's obviously a prince. This is high class, and he fills it up with all of these people, and a man shows up without wedding clothes. And the end of the story, he gets thrown into outer darkness, and you might ask, how is that fair? But you got to understand the theology of the Bible. Everybody at the wedding showed up without wedding clothes. Everybody who shows up at the wedding of Jesus is not qualified to be there. You can't afford the wedding clothes you need for this kingdom wedding. There's only one person who can dress you up, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, the theology of the Bible is this, that when God calls us to come, we have nothing in our hands to bring. We have no goodness of our own. We have no pleasantness to convince him we should be let in. God is a generous God, and he invites whosoever will may come. Yes, I believe in election, hallelujah. But you and I don't know who's elect. We're just told, go out and tell everybody. We're the servants who go out and tell, bring in everybody. But when we go, we tell them this, you are not qualified to come into this wedding hall unless you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb and unless you've been dressed in the righteousness of Christ. I was like that man. I was poor, and somebody came and found our family and invited us to the banquet. But when I heard the gospel, I realized this, I wasn't dressed for the wedding. I needed clothes only God could give me. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 about Jesus, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what happens when somebody comes to faith in Christ. There is this great substitution, this great imputation. I come to God with my sin. God takes my sin, puts it on his son Jesus, who dies on the cross in my place. Jesus lives a perfect life. He fulfills the law of God. He is the righteousness of God. And when I come to faith, God takes his righteousness and covers me with it. I've got the clothes of Christ by grace. That's what it means to be a Christian. You brought nothing. He gives you everything. And if you, some of you, have lived your whole life around the banquet hall, the church, you've lived your whole life hearing stories about God, but you are not yet saved, and you are in the wedding hall without wedding clothes. And you are the one who needs right now, right now, before another day goes by, to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you cleanse me of my sin? Will you dress me in your righteousness? Because I want to come to the party. There was a man many, many years ago named Count Zinzendorf. And Count Zinzendorf was one of the founders of the Moravian Church. And he really gave up his fortune to create a shelter for refugees from Bohemia and Moravia who were being persecuted. But he was the beginning, one of the beginners of what's called the Pietist movement. And it was a movement that helped people say, you know, this whole thing about God's love for us and Jesus, it's personal. It's not just theology. It's not just concepts. It's the fact that Jesus died for me, and he loves me, and he's enough to get me in. And he wrote this great hymn. I'll just read a couple of verses to you. Jesus, your blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress, mid flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day. Who can a word against me say? Fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. If you wear the clothes of Jesus, which he gives you freely, if you come to faith, you need have no shame. No fear, you'll be cast out. Only welcomed in. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the gospel. Thank you for the invitation to come to the wedding. And thank you for the wedding clothes. We just ask you, Lord, those of us who have been saved, those of us who have been dressed in your righteousness, give us the power of the Holy Ghost to go out yet more, because yet there is room, and help us to compel people to come in. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.